Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor. Father, we thank you because you work a work in us. We thank you, Father, because you give us the knowledge of what comes ahead, that we may position ourselves, that we may know how we ought to behave in the time in which we live. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because this is our heritage, that things don't take us by surprise, that nothing takes us by surprise, but we walk in the fullness of the knowledge of who we are and where we stand and what we ought to do as we wait for the return of the King. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I am a star in God's movie. Glory to God. And I am going to be raptured. I am not going to taste death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a war spoken about in the book of, in quite a number of places, but in the book of Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about the return of Israel as a nation, the dry bones, and says, prophesy to the dry bones, they'll become a nation. And then now 38 talks about the war of Gog and Magog. I'm sure you heard of that. Now, it's Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Gog, a person of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws and lead you out with all many horses and horsemen and all splendidly clothed, a great army with bucklers and shields, all men, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, all of them with shield and Goma. Goma and all the troops, the house of Togarmath, from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Now, go to verse 8, says, after many days you will be visited. In the later years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered for many on the mountains of Israel. Now, listen, it's talking here about a time after Israel has been gathered and talking about a confederacy of nations that will come and attack the land of Israel, which the Bible says will have been gathered from the sword from where they were gathered. You know when the gathering was and when Israel was formed as a state. Now, this comes after. Then it says in verse 9, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land with a cloud, you and all your troops and many people. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from afar, from a place out of the far north. Now, I want you to understand that all the places mentioned here are, a lot of them are actually in the north of Israel. Now, the north, as I told you before, starts from Jerusalem. When it says northeast, it's talking, the Bible, that is, from Jerusalem, from the city specifically of Jerusalem. Now, here we hear that an army comes from the north and invades Israel, and not just one nation, a number of nations. And they say it shall come from the absolute far north. Now, north of Israel, north of Jerusalem, the far north actually, the farthest north is Russia. And after that is the whatever, Antarctica and so on. But actually, the places spoken about here are all either in Russia, China, apart from those which it speaks of in verse 5, Persia is Iran, Ethiopia is Ethiopia, and Libya is Libya. But Ethiopia can also mean, black African countries, not necessarily Ethiopia. Ethiopia represents, a lot of the black, and Libya, and all of them are with them. So in other words, they are countries. Now, if you notice, the way the world is shaping out right now, that Russia, interestingly, there was a documentary on CNN about recently about Vladimir Putin, and they were saying the most powerful man in the world. How many people saw that? But what I found interesting, of course, they had their own agendas in the conclusions, but what I found interesting about them calling him the most powerful man in the world and the whole documentary is how they chart his progress from a lower level KGB person to the top of Russia almost miraculously. Actually, miraculously, so to speak, because at the time of the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, Putin was a small person, not even, Then somehow he rose through the ranks and rose through the ranks, and a bit later on, he became deputy mayor of the city of St. Petersburg. Then I don't know what happened to the mayor, then he became mayor. Then later on he went and actually he was deputy of the KGB chief. Then also the KGB chief, something happened. Then he headed KGB, you understand? Then he became prime minister for a very short time, around 1999. And I want to know, from a lower level KGB person to the prime minister of Russia, from 1989 to 1999, 10 years, that's amazing. Eh? So he became prime minister of Russia, and the president at the time was Boris Yeltsin. And there was an election slated for shortly after. There was an election slated for around mid-2000. And actually, on New Year's Eve of the millennium, on 31st December 1999, or you would say on 1st, he became acting president of Russia because Boris Yeltsin suffered a heart attack. Now, I'm trying to let you see that this is somebody who shows up as your deputy, then you have to split. Eh? Something happens. Eh? So if he comes as your deputy, you have to sort yourself out because he's not meant to be deputy. So Boris Yeltsin suffered a heart attack and was incapacitated by it. So Putin became acting president. And at the time when he became acting, he was just a few months away from the elections. And of course there were people who wanted to become president, and he was thought to be a complete outsider, one of those people whom, how did you even become prime minister? How did we end up here with this man as prime minister? But now as acting president, so his time is up. So there was an election, and he was thought to have a 2% chance of winning the election. 2% chance of winning the election. Then something strange happened. Three apartment blocks in Moscow were hit by bombs and killed so many people, and people died, in their sleep in the late night. And at the time, Chechnya was trying to break away. And Chechnya was trying to break away and form its own republic. And that war was actually even being fomented by Americans. Those proxy wars, that was George Bush, fighting those proxy wars to try and weaken Russia, because that had always been the plan. Now, what Putin did is he blamed the Chechen rebels for bringing down the building. There was no investigation. His explanation was taken as it. So he rode, as acting president, he rode with his tanks into Chechnya and brought down that insurrection. in very summarily, and in very ruthless fashion, that the Chechnyans never again thought of secession. You understand? Eh? It was done so ruthlessly and so quickly and so with such finality that everybody shook at how it had happened. Now, over the course of the buildings collapsing, being brought down by a bomb, and a number of people dying, and Chechnya being blamed, and him dealing with Chechenian rebels, whether or not they were the ones to blame, his approval ratings somehow went up from 2%, and when the election was held, he won it by 60%. Now, that has been the story of Vladimir Putin, because every time there is some kind of... Now, that is... Now, okay. So we're talking about the war of Gog and Magog. Eh? And it says countries from the north. Now, I know that Gog and Magog and those countries mentioned there, Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, and all the rest, are actually nations which are China, Russia, Iran, okay? Possibility of India. There's actually an old map of when those places were called by those names. Eh? Iran was called Persia and all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that this war is actually on the very brink of happening, and it's most definitely going to happen either this year or next year. And this is going to be, at the beginning of the year, when I was trying to seek the Lord, I understood through, for some reason, he was giving me words which I didn't understand, but one of them which I knew was to do with the nation of Israel, was the word iconoclast. Now, those of you were somewhere where I was preaching had that word, iconoclast. Now, it had something to do with Israel and how it's going to be a very trying time for Israel, but also this year. And it might actually either begin the currents that caused this war to happen, because now when we go forward, I want to show you something, because there are controversies as far as so many end-time preachers are concerned in regard to when exactly the Gog and Magog war happens. Eh? But I just want to read you one scripture here. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Remember what I told you about earthquake and its earthquakes and what they mean. Eh? I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, said the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Now this, the alliance, let me go over this again, apart from the countries which I mentioned, would involve Turkey. Now, all these things have been happening under Karim. You remember the failed coup attempt which was in Turkey? Now, Turkey and Russia had completely fallen out over the plane which was shot down, the Russian plane which was shot down. You remember that? But somehow Putin played that game, you know, diplomatically. And he was helped by Obama's miscalculations. And in as much as Obama was put out there as a very intelligent person and what, the truth is he made very many miscalculations. Eh? And America will actually suffer as a result of them. Eh? And then he decided, Obama, that the best solution to Turkey, because Turkey has always wanted to join the European Union, but they have refused them, largely because it's 99% Muslim. And of course, if they would join the European Union, that means freedom of movement. So that means all these countries which are already burdened with the number of Muslims there will suddenly have a country which is very populated, and 99% of that population are Muslims, with freedom to move and occupy any part of the European Union. So they've somehow been kept away. Now, Turkey was playing a game of, if you want us to help you to fight the Russians and Syria, then you have to admit us into the European Union. Turkey are already a member of NATO. So they were playing that game. So now, Erdogan, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, or Erdogan, whatever it is you pronounce it, the president of Turkey, is a strong man, almost like Putin. So the Obamas thought that maybe they can regime change. Eh? So they went, that coup was sponsored by America. The Turks said it, nobody believed them. Eh? But it was the truth. And he would have been overthrown if it wasn't for Putin. So now Putin is about to lose a key ally to the West. You understand? Then Obama miscalculates by trying to remove him to put a puppet regime. And guess who shows up to save him? Eh? You know those are tricks from... those are sinister schemes. Now the Bible talks about somebody who understands sinister schemes. Eh? In other words, he sets up a scenario in which he's the savior. And then he shows up as the savior, and somehow, imagine you are trying to ask this girl out, then she says no. Then you hire some guys to come there and snatch her handbag. Then you go and chase them. And of course, because you are the one who hired them, you beat them and they all fall down and what? Then you get the handbag and give it to her. So now those are the things which geopolitics, anyhow. So now, suddenly, Turkey, of course, now leans this side. So now we're having Turkey, Syria, Assad, Iran, which of course is in bed with Russia right now, and of course, Russia and China, okay? And now the war is about to take place. By the way, it's very close. I got a sense of that. And then there's somebody who is called Baraka, Alan Baraka. Is he here? I was hoping he was. Okay. Let's read the scriptures and I show you something. Verse 22. And I will bring him into judgment with pestilence and with bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many people who are with him, flooding, rain, great hailstorms, fire, and brimstone. Remember when I told you about, now when Israel is attacked by all these people, this is when Israel is going to have to be forced to use nuclear weapons. Because how does a country of 90 million people fight against a confederacy of Turkey, Iran, Russia, China? Russia is the biggest nation in the world. 24 times the size of Germany. Now, China, of course, you know, is the biggest population. And then they are attacking Israel, which has a population altogether of 9 million people. You understand? So how do you handle that? Now, God says he's the one who rains the fire and brimstone. Okay? But I know he's not the one who is going to be shooting the nuclear what? Yeah. But it will be him. Then he says, thus I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. But there is something I wanted us to read here before I go to. Okay, verse 9. Of verse of chapter 39, yeah. You will ascend coming like a storm covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. No, I'm talking about chapter 39, verse 9. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for how many years? Now, if they are going to make fires with them for 7 years, then clearly this war has got to happen before the abomination of desolation. Do you understand? Because at the abomination of desolation, there is only 7 years of human government. And all this has to happen. And after that, there is the millennium. After that, there is the Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus Christ comes to rule on earth. So this war has got to happen at least before the abomination of desolation. That means before the beginning of the 7 year period. You understand? So which is, by the way, not too far away from what? From now, from what I reckon. And it says, elsewhere it says that they will bury the people who were killed there for 7 months, and they will be burying people for a period of 7 months. But after this war is done, that will be, now here is why, this now I know for sure, because of these 7 years, is after this, then the Antichrist, whoever it is, will arise and say that we can no longer because this is so many millions of people dead, and this is what would be like a third world war. And by the way, this is where a third of mankind is killed, you understand? Now, after that, you know, just like it was after the First World War when nations meet and say we can no longer fight like this, then they formed the League of Nations. And they hoped it would stop war. That's in 1919. But it did not, because 20 years later, Hitler rolled his tanks into Austria and started the Second World War in 1939. So there was another war. The First World War, 8 million people dead, 8.2 million dead. They say, no, this has never happened. Of course, there has never been, before that, there was not any single war that killed as many as 1 million people until the First World War. Now, 8.2 million people dead. They say, we have to do something about it. So they sit and come up with the League of Nations, imagining that now differences between nations can be solved at the table. That does not happen. So after the Second World War, they sit again and form the United Nations after 52 million people have died in the Second World War. Now, contrast that with the 2.3 billion people who will die at this war, and which is obviously going to involve nuclear weapons, and where they will be burying people for 7 months. After that, they will sit down, and now the Antichrist comes and says, we have to sort this question of Israel and Palestine. And so they have to sit down, and then they hammer out a 7-year agreement. You understand? Now, the 7-year agreement is not going to be agreed by just people talking the way they have been trying to do it. They call some guy from the Palestinian Authority and some guy from Israel, the prime minister, like all the American presidents have been trying to do for all these years. And then they sit them together at Camp David in America and think they are going to agree. That's not how it's going to be done. Because they don't agree on the first basic thing. They cannot be in a peace agreement like that. Because first of all, Israel says they have to first acknowledge the state of Israel. And the Arabs sat down in their own meeting and said, we'll never acknowledge Israel. So how do you discuss with someone whom you don't acknowledge exists? So now there's not going to be a peace agreement like that. It's just wasting people's time and what, and some people trying to thinking that, behaving with messianic, you know, ambitions. But it's not going to be like that. It's going to happen after there is serious bloodshed. And people now stop playing games. Now the Arabs who are saying we cannot, they are saying that because they think the whole world is going to eventually support them and support them to have Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. And they're actually gaining grounds there. But after all these people have died and they thought they would annihilate Israel and they will not, you understand? And Israel will think they are the ones who fought for themselves, but they will not have been, because God says his fury will come. Because the scripture says when they come there, nobody will again drive them away from there. It says that in Amos chapter 9 and verse 14 and 15. So nobody will again remove them from there. But of course, Putin, who is going to rule minimum until 2024, by which time all of this will definitely have happened, is going to come against them. And then you'll see the war of Gog and Magog. Now, how close it is, I'm just going to share something with you here. And so when they sit down and agree and hammer that peace agreement, then we begin the 7 years, whether we are here or not. Praise the Lord. Whether we are here what? Or not. Now, I'm going to share with you somebody sent me a dream, and he sends me so many dreams, and they are all very prophetic. He says here that I dreamt famine broke out in northern. Now, we are entering into a time where we are actually going to see things before they happen and influence them, okay? Now, world events, not just national events, do you understand? World events. So if you're still praying very selfish prayers, God is going to start asking you to pray for people like Donald Trump. And you're saying, but I want a job. Praise the Lord. Okay, I dreamt famine broke out in northern Uganda, and people were walking long distances for many days to buy food. Now, this is just a prophetic. Who is from northern Uganda? Who? Hey, you come. Where are you from? Agago. Okay. That's Acholi or? Okay. Now, we are going to pray for northern Uganda. Who else is from northern Uganda? You come here if you're from northern Uganda. We have to pray for your place. We are not everybody who is from northern Uganda. Come here. Okay, let's pray. Stand up, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift before you the place, Northern Uganda. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that the famine is averted. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you give the beauty of your rain, as you have promised in your word. Father, we pray for rain in that area. We pray that there is no scarcity of water. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Shika rabazanta rabashida brozita rabakukro shalamazanta. Ruba shara brozanta rabasika labakashida brazanta. Mara saka yara sotorosida mokoshala marazito roshela brazanto. Mara shoku brazante rebe shoku brozonto roboshala brazanta rasukoma. Ruba shina mrazonto roboshala marasika labashoto roboshala bakarazinto roboshena. Rika brazonto roboshakara brazonto roboshela brazonto roboshena. Roko brozita. Now direct your hands towards these people, and they are representing Northern Uganda. And he said, there shall be no drought in Northern Uganda. Rika brazante rabashiko robrozonto robashoda brozi. Ria basante rabashiko robrozante makarasiya makarabashoto. Rama shala makarasiya la rasiko brozonto robashika brazento. Ria mukosonto rosha rabrazenta. Oroko sara bokoro sita rabashoko brazento robashen. Ria masanta rabashio morozanta rabarasika rabazonto. Arabaka shela brozonto robashila brozonto robashila brozonto robashila. Roko brozonto robashika. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for fruitfulness in the land of Northern Uganda. Father, we thank you because instead of drought, they receive an abundance of rain in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because this is reversed. It is not going to be, because you have called us to be the salt in the world. And therefore, we stand in the gap for that area. And we decree that this year is going to be a year of increased fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may go back and sit down. Okay, this guy says, I saw plans of assassinating President Trump. He was in a bus, and I don't know what he was doing in a bus. But you know, okay, in dreams, a bus does not signify a bus. Eh? He was in a bus, and I saw four people come riding on motorcycles and began firing bullets with the intention of killing him. And ever since, I have felt the need to pray for his protection. Now, I want you to understand that we are a big part of what God is planning this end time. And by we, I mean even as a country, as a nation. You do understand, eh? So now, the time for, you know, I want a husband, you want a husband, that's okay. But the point is, like, you have to mature beyond those things, eh? You have to start seeing God's plan. And now, the more you associate yourself with what is of interest to God, is the more he will naturally lift you up without even you praying for those things which you want, eh? And you'll find yourself occupying those places that you did not think you could occupy just because you've actually focused on what is important to him. Amen? Now, if you focus on what's important to you, you remain a child forever. Amen? Okay. I saw Turkey was making a lot of underground bunkers and tunnels residential to live in during the tribulation war period. Amen? So that means it cannot be very far away. The war of Gog and Magog. Okay? Then he says, I saw terrorists attacked the White House and blew a car on the White House gate. They first entered through one gate, but then turned back and blew the second gate, and they had come to attack Trump himself. So I ran and told him to get on Marine One. What's Marine One? The chopper, eh? Mm. But he was a bit hesitant, and the terrorists were getting closer. So I got in a fight with some of them, and I was shouting, restore the travel ban. You remember the travel ban? Eh? The seven countries, eh? What was called the so-called Muslim ban, eh? Now, here is the thing. So many people jump on it and watch Muslim, and I was talking to some man who was a Muslim, and he almost threw me out of his restaurant, even if I'm giving him a lot of money, because I eat there frequently. And, you know, but he was angry because Trump, what? And then he really became so bitter and what? And so the Muslims will be. But the truth is, the man does not just wake up in the morning and says, I banned people from these places. There were things which were being hatched there, and he knows it. And he knows it. And he insisted on doing it again. And again, of course, it's being contested in court. And all these things. Now, as you get closer to understanding what is happening in the world, you know that when you see people making a lot of noise over something, and it's very controversial, then they show you all these people and things like that, then you know that there is a battle on what is actually underneath the things which matter to the liberals and the things which matter to God. And now, obviously, those two are separate, worlds apart. Anyhow, so he told him to restore the travel ban. It was restored, wasn't it? Yes, it was. You don't follow news. What do you watch? Series. I dreamt I was killing all the false prophets of Baal, like Prophet Elijah. And I killed many of them. And it was as if I had killed generations back up to Genesis. Now, that's what this final generation is going to do. You understand? Now, the scripture says, now we don't take these scriptures lightly. There is a cloud of witnesses. There is a cloud of witnesses that is watching what we do in this final generation. And everything is, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, okay? Now these witnesses, some people have met them and have actually interacted with them. And usually you'll interact with people who are of your same calling. Because, do you understand what I'm saying? How many people have had, you know, people from appear to you and you interact with them? Now, let me tell you, who appeared to you? Moses, You? Paul, Okay, now here is what is going to happen. Now, you people are playing games. We are, let me tell you this. We are going to start having meetings in the spirit. Amen? Now let me tell you, you can bind the devil, but you cannot bind a human being. That's why the devil uses human beings. Do you understand? Because you can bind the devil, but you cannot bind what? Human being. That's why the devil wants to use people, because what are you going to do? Bind a human being? No, you don't have that authority. So the guy comes in the form of a human being. So the guy sees you go to a shop to buy, and he comes for you at night. And you wake up in the morning feeling defiled and fake. Then they say, come and we pray, spiritual husbands, and you go. And you spend a whole year fighting spiritual husbands, but it was going to happen again. And the guy knows, as long as you stay at that level, anytime he wants, he will come. He can even give you a break for 3 months. Then you say, hey, man, I'm over it. But he will come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you are going to get into spiritual things. And the only thing, by the way, which, let me tell you why people don't get into them. Number one, they are scared of what is going to happen. Number two, of course, the teaching and all that. But also, a feeling of unworthiness. Now, if the devil wants to stop you from getting into the spiritual realm, is he brings on you something which you did wrong. So until you totally understand the grace of God, where you know that is sorted, then you feel, let me first overcome this thing, then I'll walk in the spirit. Then even if you overcame it, there would be another one, which you would put on. Do you understand? And yet you can actually enter the realm of what? Without trying. Now the other day I was, my spirit was flying over the city and I was seeing things. And I was at home, actually. Now, here's the funny thing. I realized when I started having those experiences, and I'm lying on the bed, then a thought comes to mind. Do you know you can? Then I suddenly see myself coming out of my body. Then I'm at the ceiling, and I can see my body lying on my bed. Then I get scared. Then I come back. Then over a period of time, I start, then I go. Now one day, I remembered I was going out. Then I said, where do I go? Then I remembered some man of God who said he went to Australia and came back. Do you know him? Then I said, let me also go to Australia. And actually, just by projecting my thought, my spirit flies, and I was over the ocean. Then when I reached somewhere, I said, where am I going? And the minute you become conscious, I recalled back in my body. Now, over and over. Now, here is what this is what I'm, there is reason I'm telling you this. It is because this is end time Christianity. Religious Christianity is over. Do you understand? No time for, you will not kumarako. I'm telling you, with religious Christianity, you have to know what people are planning, what is happening. You have to be on top of the game. Where now you're on top of the game, you can know that this, I'm going here, but this is what I'm going to encounter. I'm going here, this is what I'm going to encounter. And this is what God has been training people. So many people here, isn't it, Gabriel? So many people here have these experiences. You see this man here, this Roger here. This Roger here has... Remember the story I told you last week of the guy who tried to flash a torch in the angel? This is the guy. That he wants to see an angel. So the angel is waking him up. He prepares his torch. He's feeling the angel pulling him, wake up and pray. But then he flashes a torch and there is nobody. But then the guy is still pulling him. Then you just wake up and say, okay, let me pray. Glory to God. Now, we are going to become spiritual people, by the way. And this is the will of God. Praise the Lord. You have to first understand that the realm of the spirit belongs to God. Amen? Not to the devil. The scripture calls God the Father of spirits. The Father of what? That's his realm. That's the realm at which we meet him. Now, the trouble with the church is people try to meet him at the emotional realm. God, surely, but now, can't you see how much I've suffered and what? And, you know, and you're trying to be, you think that if you express all these emotions of how much, that somehow it is going to amount in God being touched. It is not going to happen. God is not reached by your emotions. Do you understand? He gave you a higher, he's in the realm of the spirit. And the minute you get into the realm of the spirit, he's right there. Now, I've said this before and I will say it again. You are not going to talk God into coming away from where he is to come down where you are, in the realm of your emotions. Because he already did that 2,000 years ago. And he came from where he was and came to your level. And now he's telling you, I've come up to where I am. That was the purpose of Jesus coming, to lift you away from that religious, you know, what, you know, God, what, you know, you know how much I have suffered and what. And the minute you do that, the minute, some people even are being held back from jobs. Somebody is being held back from a job here. Now, somebody is being held back from a job here because she goes and prays and says, God, don't you see how much I have served you? Wrong number. That's what? You do not approach God on your merit. You approach him on his merit. Amen? On whose merit? Amen. They asked T.L. Osborne why so many unbelievers get healed very easily. Unbelievers struggle to get healed. And that's the reason. An unbeliever has no pretensions at all. He just comes. They said, they told us that Jesus can heal. So he comes, a Muslim, and he gets healed. And he goes back healed. Then a Christian comes. Why does he get healed? Because he's coming on the merits of that God whom he doesn't even know. But on the merits of God. Then a Christian comes and says, God, you see how much I've served you and what? Then you go back sick. Because the only merit there is God's merit. So you say, I'm not good, but you are good. I don't deserve this, but you're good. I am, but you're good. And you'll give me this because you're good. Not because I am good, but because you are good.
And because you are good, you have qualified me to be like this. Eh? And because you have qualified me, I cannot fail to be like that, because that is my qualification. Amen? Now it's all about him. Eh? Then you get what you want. Now, if you go there on the merit of something you've done, like that lady, eh? Like that lady who is trying to get a job in an international organization, actually a UN organization, who, yeah. Now go and change your way of praying, and you'll see if you'll not get that job. Amen?
Glory to God.
So how many people are going to start trying to walk in the Spirit? Eh? As in by, to go in the Spirit. Now let me tell you something. Eh? First put your hands down. People fear those things because they think that it's the meeting place of the... It is not. Eh? I told somebody came and told me, some devil comes and stands in my room, and everything I do, he's there seeing me. So she asked me, what would you do? I mean, she asked me, what do I do? I said, do nothing. What has he done? Nothing. Has he done anything to you? Now, if he could do anything, he would have done it. The only reason he has not done it is because he can't. He doesn't have any authority over you. You understand? Now, here is the difference. That demon was there all the time. It's just that you didn't see it. Eh? Now your eyes are opening to the spiritual world. Instead of being happy that you can see the spirit, you think those people who don't see demons, the demons are not there. Eh, but there is nothing they can do. Eh? Do you understand? Eh? There is nothing. Eh? Like you know, I know. There's a time I came out of my bathroom and I walked in onto my bed and I found a demon sitting there. A demon sitting on my bed like this, cheating. Then I said, man. Now in the days of my ignorance, that would be the end of my sleep. But I slept. The fact that I've seen him does not change anything. Eh? Now, there are angels here. Eh? The fact that you don't see them doesn't mean they are not there. So when you see them, nothing has changed. They were there all the time. The only thing that has changed is now you can see. Glory to God. Amen? So now, no fear. Eh? No fear, you're going to start what? Then, some guy come and told me, a friend of mine. Now here is, came and told me, now you know, why do you sleep without washing your dishes? Of course I don't wash dishes, you understand? But then I said, but you were in my kitchen last night. He said, yes, last night I was in your kitchen, I moved, I went, I came and saw you sleeping, then I went, and what? I said that to scare some of you. Eh? Glory to God. Now there's... but do you know, if you are spiritual alert, you can tell that somebody... Of course, I was sleeping when that guy came. But sometimes somebody comes, my friends, and you can tell that this guy is here. So later on, I would go and ask him, were you at my place last night? And then he says, yeah, I was there. And you can sense. Now, glory to God. Glory to God. Now you are going to, by the way, this is the end time. Eh? Like the end of the end time. The church of the end time is not going to be a religious church. Now the devil's biggest invention is religion. Religion, religion, religion. Glory to God. Is what? Religion. Where there is no leading of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit, you do not even. Eh? Some lady came and told me the other day that she was going to some church. Eh? And the Lord had told her not to go there. Then the Lord tells you not to go there. You start by feeling uncomfortable going there. Eh? Then you wake up and you're so uncomfortable. You don't want to go there, but she said, you know, I have a responsibility, I have to what? So she's supposed to be there very early. It starts raining. Eh? It starts raining, then she comes. Then she, somehow she says, I have to be there. Then she goes in the rain. Then she's carrying a child, then the child vomits on her. Then she has dreamt. Now, do you see how difficult it is for God to lead some of you? Like, now that is really being a child. You know, like the way you walk with a child in a supermarket, and you have to keep on following. The minute you turn, zero, the kid is in the road, then you have to pull them. Now some people are, and the trouble is people who are like this, some of them are men. There's a pastor who, they were telling me this. The man went and met a certain, man of God. But this man of God is he's busy recruiting people into homosexuality. But he has a big name, So the guy says, called him, come and meet me at 4 p.m. So the guy stays in Mukono. So he prepares to go and meet the pastor at 4 p.m. Then he's waiting at what time to leave home. Then he just falls asleep and sleeps and wakes up at 4. And it's not somebody who sleeps all the time, I mean during the day. Then he wakes up at 4. Then he says, my God, I'm finished. I'm supposed to. So he gets on the, calls the pastor and says, I'm late. He says, can I still come? Yes. Then he jumps on a border bee because now you can no longer use, you know. Then jumps on a border bee from Mukono. Then he gets a minor accident. Then what? Then ends up in hospital. Like, and if you mature, God will just say, don't go. But he has to, you have to make him manipulate circumstances. You sleep, you wake up, you can't still see it. Then get even now. Grow up. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Amen. You are a baby where God has to every circumstance. Then this guy doesn't pick your call. Then this one, then finally you don't go there. But you're still sad. But you don't know what God is saving you from. Then you know the guy came and said, man, I was supposed to meet that man of God. That man, the devil, fought me. Now you don't even tell, you can't even tell the difference between your friends and your enemies. Now that is a real baby, You know, like a baby where you, whether it's a mother or a stranger, for it just jumps and moves, Grow up. Amen. You're going to what? Grow up. Okay, back to this man's dreams. So this past Saturday, a pastor calls me and tells me, Alan, he tells me a dream. Then he tells me he dreamt that he was with the Lord and he was showing him how the world was prepared for war, especially the powerful nations. And he asks him which national leader would you like to, now the Lord asks him, which national leader would you like to see? And the pastor answers and says, Putin. So the Lord begins showing him Putin and says, he is a man who came to power mysteriously. Notice these words. He continues by saying, Putin is a man who is not concerned and does not care about God or the devil. And he is concerned about his, all he's concerned about is his army. Then he also shows him the last time Vladimir Putin attended a church where there was a true man of God, and it was many years ago. He says the president of Russia, Putin, trusts his personal intelligence, his IQ, and rarely makes mistakes that other humans make. Jesus Christ said that one day the angel who is in charge of the armies of heaven and the sky came and told him, give me permission, I want to kill Putin. And the Lord asked him, why? And he answered, he's going to kill Christians like never before. He's going to attack Israel. And the Lord answered and said, for the sake of the scripture to be fulfilled, don't kill him. Let it be so. And also at the same time, another angel came and asked the Lord to give him permission to kill all Muslims in the world. And Jesus asked, why? And the angel answered, because they are killing Christians and they want to start in Africa. And our Lord asked him which country, and the angel answered, Nigeria, because of Boko Haram killing Christians. And Jesus told him, let it be so for the scripture to be fulfilled. Then he said that he sees how Russia is testing their weapons
and fighting capabilities, and the angels panic and say it's remaining 2 days and they attack Israel. But for him, he doesn't panic. He knows the time they would attack Israel. That is Putin. He continues by saying Russia is planning against Israel. China is planning against Israel. Even the weak France is planning against Israel, plus the weak Britain. But he sees everything. The Lord continued by saying Putin hates Israel and wants to rule the whole world. Russia is almost leading in everything. Vladimir Putin has a bitter heart because of Obama undermining him. And he's working hard to make sure Obama goes to prison. And he may. Meanwhile, the Americans have just realized that Obama broke many laws when he was president. And yet he's still trying to remove Trump from power. He finishes by saying the only thing that keeps Trump safe is the grace of God, because of those who worked in the, because those who worked in the previous Obama administration are working against him. And what is helping Trump is that he's beginning to remove them, and he's still going to remove more. Now, this is in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Remember in Ezekiel 38, we read that the king of the Gog war come from the north, the kings of the north. Now, in Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is called the king of the north, okay? And I want you to see how they describe him by just reading a few verses here. Verse 21 of Daniel 11. And in his place shall rise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Remember the short brief I told you about Putin, eh? He comes in peacefully and seizes the thing by what? By intrigue. The next 1 minute he's here, the next minute he's the president. And you don't know how it happened. Now, when he had to stand down from the presidency because he's not allowed to stand beyond 2 terms, he did what only Putin can do. He got his stooges, prime minister, Andrei Medvedev. And Medvedev stood for president, and Putin became prime minister. In other words, they exchanged positions. But what the constitution says, he cannot be president for more than 2 straight terms. So Medvedev became prime minister for 1 term, or rather president for 1 term, as Putin was prime minister. And now the interesting thing is, when they were discussing something with the American president, Medvedev said, who was the president of Russia, when they agreed something, he says, okay, I will deliver the message to the prime minister. He does. He's the president, but he's saying, okay, I'll take your message to the prime minister. So after the prime minister had served, after Medvedev had served for 1 term as president, Putin came back. Now he has the liberty to rule until 2024. Now that's only Putin can do things like that. But when he came back, there were mass demonstrations against him, and he was said to be very unpopular. But guess what happened? Another convenient war, and another Putin showing his strength, and another, now his approval rating is something close to 80%. Consider that American presidents become happy when they have 50%. And that approval rating, by the way, is according to Americans. American survey groups, not Russians. But things that only Putin can do. Praise the Lord. And this is what I hear the Lord saying. If you align your desire with mine, says the Lord, you shall not see any depression. There shall be nothing in your life that goes backwards. If you align your desire along with mine, says the Lord, you shall see a lifting up. And even the things that you did not know you need, you shall find them right next to you, and you'll receive them without as much as a struggle, without even as much as a prayer for them in the name of God. And this is what I hear him saying, that align your desires to fit into mine. Align your desires to match mine. And you will see that I will align everything in your life to perfection. There shall be nothing wanting. There shall be nothing lacking in your life, says the Lord. And this shall be your testimony, that you move from glory to glory to glory, says the Lord, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Now this is what the Lord is doing. You're being brought into the ministry of angels. You will see them. You will see them. You will see them. And you will see their work in your life, which has been going on, but you did not know. When they aligned things for you and you did not know. But now you will become more and more conscious of them. And you will see their workings in your life, says the Lord. And you will become more acquainted with the realm of the Spirit, says the Lord. And this is the realm where you walk in. And once you've tasted a glimpse of it, says the Lord, you shall not want to ever go back where you've been. Once you test it for the first time, it shall become your place. It shall become your dwelling place. And you dwell there and experience the goodness thereof. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because this is actualized in our lives, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, because you open our eyes and we see those things that you want us to see. And we step away from what religion had taught us and what dead orthodoxy had taught us, and we step into a new realm of glory. And we learn how to influence world events from right here, because we are the salt of the world. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, because it's done. In Jesus' name. Hold on. Asthma. Who has asthma? And some breathing. Come forward if you. How often do you have attacks? How often?
It's like a week.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke that sickness and I decree that you shall not have an attack again from this day onwards, hereafter. In the name of Jesus, because your breathing difficulties have been sorted right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and I command asthma to depart from your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come. What's your name? Now I want us to pray for this lady. She was entered into covenants of a demonic nature by her. Come here. By her mother. She died.
Yes.
Okay. Direct your hands towards her and rebuke every. We're breaking every covenant that was entered. She was entered into as a child. And we decree in the name of Jesus that it shall hereafter have no impact on her life, in the name of Jesus. 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 Okay, in the name of Jesus. Now I'm seeing when she put something inside you. Is that true?
Yes, she did.
How do you know that?
She died, a woman of God walked to me and she told me she got blood of chicken and other things and she injected me. She was a nurse.
She mixed it with your blood.
Yes.
And you even have a scar on you somewhere.
Yes.
Where she got that blood.
Yes.
And it appeared. You were young.
Yes.
Go ahead.
When I was young, I was like in P2. I got too much fever. She injected me, but from that day, it has been painful. Didn't know it was sacrifice.
Okay. So in the name of Jesus, I break every covenant. Say amen.
Amen.
I break every covenant.
Amen.
That you were entered into.
Amen.
Without your consent.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I set you free.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I set you apart. I sanctify you.
Amen.
I decree that everything that pertains to that is broken.
Amen.
It shall no longer affect your life,
Amen.
Your success.
Amen.
It shall not affect your going forward.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I sever you from every link to the ancestors. Your mother was some kind of, she was a witch. Eh?
She practiced sorcery.
But she was also a nurse. Eh?
Yes.
And you were supposed to take over.
I don't know. But before she died, she wanted to tell me something. I got scared. I didn't.
How old were you when she died?
She died last year in November when I entered into a very strong dry fast.
Mm.
She just dropped and died.
So in the name of Jesus, you're freed now. Say amen.
Amen.
You're freed now from every. She wanted you to take up that stuff. Eh?
Yes.
And then you like disappointed and went and got born again. Eh? But now you're being delinked from every such thing.
Amen.
Now you. I establish you in a new life.
Amen.
A life of Christ.
Amen.
And now nothing that has been unraveling in your life shall unravel any longer.
Amen.
You step out and receive success.
Amen.
And you receive your due reward.
Amen.
From all your jobs.
Amen.
Because you have been working and not getting what you've worked for.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
So I and like there's something taking away everything that you get.
Yes.
Something chewing everything that you get.
True.
Now that ends this day in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is. So now actually, now no long, no more, you not just get what you've worked for.
Amen.
You'd even get an arrears.
Amen.
Of what the thief has stolen.
Amen.
So there is going to be promotion in your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.